You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey friends, it's just Ali here. Before this guest interview starts, I just wanted to come on solo and just say a few words. This is an interview with Jess Connolly and Haley Morgan, two women who have been such an inspiration to me. It was a real honor to sit down with them and just talk to them heart to heart. And even just seeing their faces on my screen and seeing them looking back at me and hearing them talking to me was just a really neat experience for me, because they've been so inspiring to me and what I do and in just who I am as a Christian woman. I really love and respect both of them and both of their missions. Their new book, Always Enough, Never Too Much, is truly incredible. I was sent a copy before it was available for pre-order, and I've read all of it at the time that I'm recording this little intro. And it's just absolutely incredible. I can't even say enough about it. If you feel like you're caught up in the war of in your own self between that you are never enough, and that you are just too much, when you are being your best self, when you're just hanging out, being yourself, you're just like too much. For me personally, I have a lot of different things where I feel that way. But one thing for me, for example, is that I always have struggled with feeling that I am too bold, that I'm too ambitious, that I'm always working towards a goal and never really just settled. And other people seem to just kind of settle. And I've felt that that is a bad thing. I've been made to feel like that's a bad thing from other women in my life and other people in my life, not just women. And that also the struggle, not only that you're too much, but that you're never enough, that you don't measure up. And I've struggled with that in my life as well. I think we all have struggled with feeling like we're not enough and feeling like we're too much at the same time in many, many different areas of our lives. And this book from Jess and Haley really speaks to that. It is not even just a normal book. It's actually a devotional. It features 100 different devotions that are each just so specific. And we're going to talk a lot about the book in the interview, so you'll get more of that there. But I just wanted to come on away from the authors on my own before this interview starts and just let you all know I am a bookworm. I have read a lot of books, and this book is so special and so sweet and just really speaks the love of God and the heart of Jesus into you as a woman. No matter how you've been made to feel, you will feel so valued and loved and just adored at the end of this book, at the end of even just one of the devotionals. And I think also I talk about it a little bit in this interview that you're about to listen to, but outside of just the war within ourselves that, you know, that fear that you're too much, that you're not enough, there's also that same feeling from woman to woman. It's kind of like this war amongst women of who's better at this, who's good at that, trying to be it all and do it all. And it's just exhausting and pointless and not what we are called to. And I think this book speaks to that for our own selves and also in how we respond and how we treat the other women in our lives. This book changed the way that I saw myself. It changed the way that I see my mother, my sister, my friends, my daughter. It really was impactful. So I just wanted to come on away from the authors and so that you would hear it straight from me by myself. I scheduled time out of my schedule solely to record this little blip for you guys without being in front of the authors and to just say, this book is so good. It's definitely faith-based. It's full of scripture. It's very, very truth and scripture-based. It's so important that you read this book. So having said that, let's get into the interview with Jess and Haley. Hey, beauties. Welcome back to another episode of The Purpose Show. I have a very, very special episode for you girls today. I have Jess Connolly and Haley Morgan here, and they are good friends who share a passion to lead other women in really pursuing Jesus and pursuing abundant life and kind of stepping into who they were made to be, which I love. Jess and Haley are both mothers and business owners, and they co-authored the book Wild and Free and their new book, which comes out April 24th, Always Enough and Never Too Much. So welcome, ladies. Thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm so excited.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. So we're just going to jump right in just to honor your time and ours and just get to it. So, okay, Always Enough and Never Too Much. I've got it right here. I've been, as I said before we hit record, I'm a little more than halfway through and really reading every single devotional, because it is a devotional, even though I kind of feel like it has the cadence, I guess, of a normal book. But it is kind of broken down in devotional format, which is really unique and I really like it. But I feel like the main thing that I'm taking from this is really, and the title says it, that you're answering the questions, why don't I ever feel like I'm good enough and or enough? And why do I also feel like I'm too much when I kind of let loose and let my guard down and be myself? Can you explain a little bit more about that idea behind the book and how you came to write this?
Yeah. Well, so I think that Jess and I, when we did Wild and Free, we realized that we, while we're similar in a lot of ways, we also approach the world really differently. And we see the world differently and we experience it differently. And so when we looked at the feelings that we had when we interacted with each other, with other friends, with our families, it was this feeling of, in the work that you're doing, and the way that you're made, that you can feel like you're not enough. Or again, on the flip side, and we really think it's, I think when we started, we felt like one of us would feel like they're not enough and one of us would feel like they're too much. But as we uncovered the whole, the kind of the truth that we found that God had for us in His Word, that we really kind of struggle to feel like both, no matter who you are. And so the idea of not feeling like you're enough, I mean, I don't think I need to explain that. I think we all have a visceral understanding of that. And same with feeling like you're too much. I mean, it's the idea that if you show who your true self is, that it might be too wild, too crazy. It might be something that you need to tone down. And yeah, so Jess and I experience that differently. It plays out differently in our lives, but it's something that we felt like was pretty universal, especially with women. I don't know. I don't know if this is the same thing for men, but I can definitely say that of all the women we've talked to throughout the country, that they resonate with this feeling that we all have.
It was great with the devotional format, for sure, too, to like, the tagline of Wild and Free was for the woman who feels like she's too much and never enough. And so the great thing about the devotional was being able to hit those specific ways that women said, like we encountered so many women after Wild and Free who would say like, but what about this? But like, what about when you do this? But what about when you're this? And obviously we couldn't have answered all those things in the book, but they were so like cyclical and coming up in so many different ways. And with so many different women, we were like, we got to write specifically to these scenarios. And so I think that's like my favorite part about the book, is that when you're feeling that specific way, there's a biblical answer for you.
Yeah. And I love too that I've noticed as I'm reading these that most of them, whichever of you is writing it, is relating to it from your personal life, but you're also not like getting, I mean, that would kind of be counterproductive to the book, but you're not getting down on yourselves for whatever the thing is. Like Haley, one of my favorite ones from you so far was when you feel like you're not a good friend, just because I totally relate to that. Just a lot of boundaries. And Jess, I would say I'm probably high wall, like your husband, which you also talk about in the book. And so just kind of, I don't know, it kind of ends up feeling like, well, I'm a freak and I'm not a good friend and I'm not easy to get to know. But I don't know, but you come across it, both of you, where it's like,
here's maybe kind of the reason that I'm like this and why it's amazing that God made me this way. And also it's okay to work on things and to grow and want to be better. You don't want to stay stagnant, but let's also stop for a second and praise that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made in the way that we are made as we are right now. That while it's good to have goals and be ambitious and want to change things and always meeting, you know, new standards for yourself, let's not get down on ourselves with who we are right now. I really love that. It's just a really, really heavy theme throughout the whole book.
I described it to somebody the other day when they were asking me about it. And I was like, it's like sitting down with a friend who says, so what? When you say like, I haven't been a good friend. Well, like a really good friend isn't going to be like, you're right. You're just always the best friend. You do everything right. No, a really good friend will be like, so what?
Yeah.
So what? So what if you weren't a good friend? Like, so really, so what? So number one, let's look at the truth of God. Like, what does he actually say about you? What's actually expected of you? And so what? So what if you didn't do it well? What's next? And to take like every different scenario and kind of say, so what? So what if you're too loud? So what if you're too weak? Mm-hmm. So what if you don't have enough money? Like, let's talk about it. So what?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So
see, this is why I'm glad that I get to have Jess as my actual friend, because I'm like, yeah, that's right. I want you to now write a whole book about that, Jess. Go for it.
Yeah.
Well, you did it. You said it. You helped those women say so what.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's so empowering too. And what I got from this was just the thought of like, I wish that every woman would have this mindset about herself and about her friends. You know, going back to the how I related to you, Haley, and it with not feeling like you're a good enough friend or as good as other friends are to you. And I think, Jess, you even had something like that in there, like you were not a good texter backer. Like, you know, like, oh, I forgot to even respond. And she sent me this. That's me. This is awkward for everybody listening who's like, yeah, I've been waiting for a text since January, Allie. But that, just that feeling. And I wish that we could all take this book and take its mentality, for lack of a better word, and give it to our own selves and then each give it to our other friends and just understand that, yes, maybe I'm not a good texter backer, but here's my other strengths. Here's what I'm great at. Here's what you're great at. Yeah. And not having those expectations on each other, because it's just causing divide so much, especially among women, I feel like.
Yeah. I think we, it's just kind of like a theme of, well, I think it's just what love is that love isn't easily offended. And it's something that I mean, when you have a lot of kids, it's something that you have to kind of preach to your kids all the time, is like, okay, buddy, I know, like, we're all in close quarters here. We're all like rubbing up against each other, but like, is that really a thing to make a thing of? And since I preach that so much in my own house and in my own family, it kind of has a way of making its way into your heart. And So I think the idea of not being easily offended, but then also the idea of calling each other up. And we talk about that a lot in Wild and Free, and like saying like, right, like what Jess was saying, so what? Like, right, that maybe you're not awesome at this, but this is the way I see you growing. This is the way I see God made you. This is what I see in scripture that says Jesus will do this in your life. And these are the ways that we can grow up into a more sanctified, more refined version of who we are, not a shinier version of who we wish we could be.
Oh my gosh. I just love that. So what would you say, maybe just breaking it down into like a clear sentence, why does this devotional differ from other ones that are also geared towards women? Because I feel like it's one of those things where it's almost like, I was reading recently Gretchen Rubin's Happiness Project, and she describes like happiness is kind of like a fog. Like, you can see it from a distance, but when you try to zoom in on it and really dissect it, it disappears. And I feel like this book was sort of like that, in the way where it's like, this is so different, but it's kind of like the fog. When I try to zoom in on it and like, well, like, why is it different though? It kind of disappears, but it is so different. It's so beautiful. So how does it differ from other devotionals geared towards women and encouraging women?
I think the biggest way that it's different is that because it's so topical, and it's very honest topical. These themes, I meant to pull them up, like the different chapter headings, but we just said like these things like when you make mistakes, when you don't have enough energy, when you don't feel like a church girl, when you don't feel beautiful, when you need affirmation, when you need some privacy, when you're not that smart. Like I don't know any devotional that's ever said, here's what the Bible says when you don't feel smart enough. If I'm being honest, like this is a very raw, like this is me being very honest right now. This is a very raw insecurity that I walk around with a ton, that I'm not smart enough. Mm-hmm. I have never found any Christian woman's book that says, here's what you do if you don't feel smart. I've never heard anyone say like, here's where the gospel meets you. Here's where Jesus meets you if you don't feel smart. Even when you're sick, even when you've never led anyone to Christ, even when you're gifted, then on the too much side, even when you're gifted, even when you beg God for help, even when you're a mess, even when you feel like a tornado, even when you cry easily, even when you have no filter, even when you're fired up about justice, like these super real, raw, honest, topical things that actual women are actually struggling with, and that we're scared to even bring our closest friends. When we're even scared to say like, I need you to know I don't feel smart. I mean, it took me until about a year ago to finally out that with some women and to say like, I really struggle with thinking I'm unintelligent. And I write books and teach for a living. So like that's problematic. You know, so that's what feels different about it to me, is that it's not like a high off lofty idea. And that, you know, we always talk about meeting people where they're at, but this like genuinely meets people exactly where they're at, exactly in what they're feeling.
And even if it's not you, there are a lot of them where, because not everybody is high wall. There's a lot of them that jumped out at me as, oh my gosh, my good friend, this is, and I had to screenshot it and, or take a picture of it and send it to her. So it's not even just for your own self. Most of it, I mean, I think we can all relate to most of them at least a little bit, or maybe in a specific relationship, but if not, it's to encourage somebody else and also come to a deeper understanding of somebody in our life. And as a person raising a daughter, that's huge there too. For friendships, for my own mother. I mean, there's so many things that just jump out as this is so real. And so nobody is really saying it as just kind of, it is what it is. I don't feel very smart. I feel like a churchy enough girl. You know, it's those awkward kind of things that we think in the inner deepest parts of ourselves that we're maybe afraid to put into one sentence like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, I totally agree. I think half the time I didn't even realize that, because we came up with a lot of ideas based on things that we had heard from women after Wild and Free. We made a huge Excel spreadsheet and just started whittling it down. Like, are these too similar? Are these saying the same thing? Is this too niche kind of, or is this something that a lot of women feel? And then we split them up based on that. And there are definitely some that I got where I was like, okay, how do I write this from a place of maybe that's not how I was feeling that day? But a lot of times when I went to write it, I realized like, oh gosh, that is in there. Those fears or that lack or that too muchness, whatever. I need to come up with a good word for that. But
extra.
It's already done. Perfect. I love it. So there's that. I think another thing that makes it unique, two more things, that there's both of us wrote it.
Yeah.
It's not very often that you get two perspectives. A lot of times it's either like, oh, that book is for me, or that book isn't for me. And that can be great in a lot of ways, but it's really nice to have a ping pong kind of conversation. And thirdly, so I'm one of those people who I will get a bee in my bonnet and I will be like, I'm going to change the world. And then by the end of the day, I have like 18 new journals, 4 devotionals, 3 new study Bibles. And like, I'm signed up to take Greek and Hebrew somewhere. Like, that's just the way my brain works. And you know, that doesn't work really in real life. And I'm learning that about myself. So I do it less and less as I get older. But I'm the person who I'll start a devotional and I'll get like 4 days into it. And then I'll be like, yeah, life happened, or my mindset changed and I'm not really there anymore, or I don't want to be X, Y, and Z, whatever that thing was that I was thinking about that day. What I love about this one is that it doesn't have to be, I mean, there's 100 devotionals, but it doesn't have to be 100 straight days. It doesn't have to be 10 straight days. I mean, this could be a kind of thing that you pull out. It's all titled very obviously, and it can be thing you pull out when you're like, ooh, I feel like I am in a funk and I don't know what the deal is in my heart. And you can just scan it and I think something will jump out at you. And it's very bite-sized in a lot of different ways. So I appreciate that because not everybody, this is not a sit down and study the word for 45 minutes kind of devotional. This is like what Jess and I would say to you based on a lot of our 45 minutes of studying the word times. It's what we would say if we were sitting across the table from you and we could look you in the face and say these things. This is what we would say. And I saw a quote the other day and I A, don't know who it was about, and B, don't know who it's attributed to. So that could take some sleuthing. But it basically said it was a pastor who could write a sermon in just a short amount of time. But it was based on 30 years of his walk with the Lord. So it was like the outcome, the result, isn't this deep study of scripture. It's born out of the truth that we've found over a long period of time that is 100% rooted in scripture. And that was very important to us, that it wasn't just loosely based on scripture, that it was like, this is what the word of God says. So,
Yeah. And it's also verses that sometimes when I'm skimming it and reading a section of it, the verses, I'm kind of like, really? Oh, what could they have to say about this one? Like, it's kind of random. And then you say your thing and it's like, I never would have gleaned that from that. And also, I like that you said that the titles of each devotional are very obvious because it's like the titles are saying about yourself what you are too burdened by the emotions of feeling that way to describe about yourself that you're feeling that way. So many of them jumped out at me, like not feeling like you're a good friend, what you do when your to-do list is never ending. If you're overwhelmed and you just grab this book, because sometimes just being honest, the Bible is overwhelming for me to just open up, and God always has a way of bringing me to the right place. But sometimes I'm just struggling with an emotion and I don't know what exactly is going on because my emotions are very 100% and I get overwhelmed by that. And so for this to just say, your to-do list is never ending, here's like a cup of water, really, and scripture that you know you need because this jumped out at you. It's almost like you broke down the scripture into a little bit more of a like, here, find, skim until you find one that jumps out at you. Here's some scripture that will refresh you today. It's really clear and helpful.
Do you feel like you're barely getting through your days, friend? Does motherhood feel more like a hurricane of chaos that you're just kind of surviving rather than the awesome, joy-filled season that you want it to be? While motherhood is hard, and I'm not going to lie to you about that, and it is servitude and giving to your family from yourself, it doesn't have to be something that we're waiting to be over, something that we're spending counting down the minutes till nap time or bedtime or waiting for the next day to start. If you're wanting to sort through the clutter in your mind, your heart, your home, calendar, health, routines, and relationships, I created Unburdened just for you. It is a guide that will help you go from drowning in a sea of stress and overwhelm to owning your time and living the best version of your motherhood so you can live abundant, well, and intentionally focused on those who matter most. Unburdened is the overwhelmed beginner's guide to a simpler motherhood. In Unburdened, I will walk you through how to stop overcomplicating, procrastinating, and just start making positive changes now, how to declutter just a little bit, not getting super deep into it because you can't handle that when you're this overwhelmed, but just kind of a surface declutter that will get you real results in your house so you can just clean up less, how to declutter toxic relationships in your life and set some good boundaries, how to simplify clean eating, get healthy and feel better finally, how to simplify your calendar, how to start owning your time and not just manage it as life happens to you, how to stop just setting goals and letting them sit there and start actually defining where you want to go and getting there through reverse engineering and goal setting, how to create a cleaning routine that works for you and your life. This course is a mini course. It is small, but it is straightforward and it is everything for the mom who feels like she needs a total overhaul but is too overwhelmed to start. It'll help you simplify the things that have you stuck and leave survival mode behind for good. If this is resonating with you and sounds like you and something that would really help you right now, go to bit.ly/getunburdened or click the show notes for this episode and click the link to Unburdened and just check it out. Read about it. See if it sounds good to you. I really poured my heart into this little course and I created it for the mom who's just really wanting to simplify and declutter and pursue a life of less, but she's so burdened and so overwhelmed with the mess of just all the things. It's not just her house. And she wants to sort of simplify on the surface of all the different things in her life so that she can focus on her family more, so that then maybe she can focus more specifically on really, truly purging her entire house. So this sounds like it's for you. I encourage you to check it out. You're probably the person that I created this for, and I want you in there. I want you to have it. I want to help you. So go check it out, bit.ly/getunburdened.
Okay, so the book is flipped. So always enough, and then never too much on the other side. And then even further inside, like it is upside down when you get to the middle. So each, I don't know if I'm describing that right, but each mm-hmm. side has its own, it's like two different books. So how did you guys come up with that? And why did you feel like, was this just like quirky and cute? Or like, why did you guys decide to go ahead and do this? Because it's really neat.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Haley. Number one, I don't think we came up with it. So what's great about this book is we wrote it while in free. We loved writing it together. It was amazing to publish. It was so good, but we didn't have plans to write another book together. And we were definitely left with like a lot of these questions women were having. What if I feel too much? What if I feel not enough? Definitely wanting to answer those. But actually our publisher came to us with this idea. And I think, didn't they say flip book the very first time?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're picturing a flip book. And we were like, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
It kind of like won us over. We were like, okay.
Yeah.
And they kind of just pitched us the whole thing, which is, I mean, we have a great publisher, but that's not always how it is. I mean, usually you have to kind of push them to be a little more creative or, you know, a little like risk taking. And they were like, we want it to be a beautiful cover. We want it to be a flip book. And we were like, okay, that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
And we just love that it is different covers because I mean, it's wildly different. It's kind of like loud and then gentle. And just to say like, this is who women are. Like we're not easily encompassed in a single thing. I've literally noticed since I've gotten my copy that like some days I will turn it over on, I keep it on my coffee table. Like some days I'll turn it on the white side, sometimes I turn it on the blue side. Like, do I want it to be very quiet and peaceful in here? Or do I want it to be like a little splash of wild in here today? And so, yeah, that was not our idea. We're pretty creative gals, but that was not us.
Yeah, I love it. And it almost makes it kind of more approachable somehow. Like it's just fun. I don't know. I love it. It's super cute.
Yeah, these are the kind of books that booksellers that they hope that you pick up for your friend or for your mom or for your sister. And so anything that we can do to make it more appealing and more attractive, more exciting to pick up, I think is even better. And so I am not a huge devotional reader, to be honest. And I love them, but it's not something that I normally pick up. So I was really excited that they had something innovative and something that makes it feels like a gift. It feels like something really pretty to have, that you want to have out. And I think that half the time, that's the battle of, it's why I leave my Bible in my backpack that I carry everywhere, or it's on my kitchen counter, because I want it to be easily accessible and I want to have it out. And so that felt important, I think, with the book, to make it something that people would want to have around.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Is there a reason, I'm just curious, that you chose 100 devotionals instead of like a year long or just like a random number? Did it end up working that out that way? Or?
Well, I think for me personally, it was important not to have a lot of duplicated content from Wild and Free. And because while, sure, we'll have a lot of readers that never read Wild and Free, but the ones who did, they're like our soul sisters. They're like our friends that we've been with forever. And we wanted this to be a gift for them too. And so it would be, it's a huge undertaking to write a year. I mean, as somebody who writes and who does podcasts and things, it's a huge undertaking to do 365 entries. So yes. I think it was an approachable place for us to start as writers, which for me personally, being a somewhat public person, that I feel like we're leading the younger generation in how to do this kind of creative life. It was important to me to not over leverage myself really, and to have it be approachable from a creation standpoint, because I think that it's a good thing to show other people as they're coming up behind you. Example. Yeah. That's the word.
Example.
It's a good example to set and how it can still be really impactful. And I think realistically, for somebody to sit with my voice for 365 days or 180 some, like, that's a lot. I think 50 will do.
Yeah.
I would sit with your voice for that long, just FYI. I would listen to a devotional by you every day.
Only if you read it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I read the audiobook, and my favorite was reading Haley's devotionals because we're such different writers, and like nothing makes me happier than when someone comes up to me and is like, I read Walden Free. I didn't really like your writing, but Haley is such a good writer. And I was like,
Oh my God, I know.
She's a phenomenal writer. I'm a communicator. I'm a talker, and Haley is too, but she's also just a phenomenal writer. But I would have to Google like a lot of words because my base fear is that I'm
not rub it in. That's not true.
I would be like, my favorite, I think I texted her one day when I was recording. Do you remember what the word
Indefatigable.
Such a hard word to say on a recording. Indefatigable. But it's such a good word. It means you can't be fatigued, which is like a great, beautiful way to say that. But yeah, Haley was actually one of the very first people who told me this statistic while we were writing Wild and Free. She said, you know, most people only read 40% of a book. And honestly, that shifted the way we wrote Wild and Free. Like, it changed the way we wrote Wild and Free. And as an author, you really want to take people on a journey that they want to complete. You know, you want to take them to, like, you don't want to lose them 40% of the way in.
Yeah.
I would just say, as the three of us right here, we're like quick, smart, hip millennial women, and we got to move on sometimes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of times that I read a book and I get three chapters in and I'm like, I get it. Do you want to say something else? Like, I got it. But that's the other reason why I don't want it to be a year-long devotional, because I don't want women to be thinking about this for a whole year. I want them to feel so empowered and equipped and changed in 100 days that they're like, I'm ready. I'm giving it to a friend. Let's go on. What's next? You know? And so, of course, there's going to be things that we like struggle with and we come back to and that we revisit. But, you know, one time I read a year-long devotional on rest, and I was like, man, if I'm not figuring out rest like a few days in, we might have an issue.
Yeah, I don't know if a book is going to do the job if I have to stack for a year.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, I would say the biggest lesson in my life in the time past Wild and Free, like from writing Wild and Free, and I would love to sit here and say like, oh yeah, totally got that. Like, never struggle with feeling like that. But like, writing this devotional was just as much preaching to myself as it was telling everybody else. And I have really realized that it takes not just learning, it takes just not knowing, but it takes obeying. And I don't want you to be just reading for the whole time. Like, I want you out there practicing it in your day-to-day life and moving it from a knowing to an understanding, something that's like actually in your spiritual DNA.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So the idea of wild freedom, since this is kind of like a branch off of Wild and Free, I mean, it is, I guess, like you were saying, it's more just like in-depth examples of the feeling that you got from Wild and Free, you know, so it shows up in this book. So can you describe for maybe somebody who hasn't read the other book, what is that idea of wild freedom in your own words?
You go for it, Jess.
Yeah, I would say it is really believing the kind of audacious truth that the Bible puts forth, that we are made good in God's image and made free by the power of Christ. And I think those are things we say, like, right, yeah, God made us and said we were good. And also, right, we're free. Yes, we're free. But while the message of Wild and Free is saying, like, okay, let's take it past just like nodding at that, and let's step into some agreement about what it would look like to agree with our whole lives that we are made good, that when He created us, that He did not, you know, He didn't make mistakes, and that also He didn't make us in fear of what we would turn into, but also that the freedom that Jesus purchased for us on the cross is real and active and alive and working in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we said like wild is walking in how God made you, and free is resting in what Jesus has done for you. And I think I had to learn the rest piece really early on, because I don't know, it was just a lesson that God had for me to learn when I was probably 18 and 19, because I find it very easy to find my worth in what I do and in what I can do for people and what I can accomplish. And my husband, he wasn't my husband at the time, but I think he just saw that in me, and he saw that it was a wall that I put up, that I wouldn't let him know me. And so for some reason I had to learn that early on. But this wild situation, it has been a journey, and it is hard for me to learn. And it's hard for me every like layer of the onion that I pull back, and I see more of myself and I know more of myself because I know more of the Lord and I know more of how He is. I can see more of how I am. But also, God is wild. And if God is wild, then that means I'm wild. And that's a little stressful for somebody who likes to be appropriate and likes to have the right answer for things. And so something that Jess has said that has been so helpful for me, and she says a lot, is taking it too far. Like, how, what would it look like if you took it too far? Because I'm the person over here who's like, no, I'll take it as far as is appropriate, and then I will stop.
Right.
And so there's so much freedom for me in that, in saying, and again, it's like this, so what? So what if you take it a step over the line there? Like, if we're doing things in freedom, in the way that God has made us and in the way that He has redeemed our lives, if we take it too far, that's a good thing. So anyway, just rub that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So if you guys wouldn't mind, could you share maybe a recent personal example in your life, or maybe just a piece from the book, whatever you want, of a time where you recently felt like you were either not enough or too much, to kind of just give a taste of what it is that's in the book and what you guys, how you approach this for listeners?
Mm-hmm. I'll let you go first, Jess.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick which one. So I actually texted Haley a little bit about this week. So on Sunday night, I was standing in the kitchen. My kids just came home from spring break, had a great spring break with my kids. We'd gone to church, gotten groceries, gotten ready for the week. But I was like in that post spring break, like there's a lot on the plate. We have a book launch in 2 weeks. Just like taking some deep breaths. And in 1 minute, I got three, in 1 minute, in a 60-second period, I got three text messages from women in my church, all saying like, do you have time to hang out this week? And I didn't have time to breathe this week. Like, I knew I don't really have time to shower this week. And I knew I had to say no. And that moment, I just opened up a dialogue with my husband. My husband's a pastor. We're in church ministry. We started church. So this is a common never ending struggle for me, is that like, we are the leaders. And we always say like, Beth Moore is apparently not going to show up. Like, I keep waiting for her to come and lead us, and she's not. So it's just us. It's just us. There's nobody else. The adults haven't come yet. I don't know. That's like a normal every Sunday occurrence, like, you know, three text messages in 1 minute where you're just like, I can't. And it like kind of opened up this whole conversation with my husband again about, you know, basically to be a healthy person, I have to disappoint people. To be a healthy person, to have like healthy boundaries, I have to say no. Saying no is genuinely so unsexy. And I was like, again, asking my husband for the millionth time, I was like, you mean you want me to say no? Like, physical no? And he was like, I mean, I want you to say no. He was like, what's more, I don't want you to say maybe next week, because you can't next week either. He was like, I want you to say, like, I have four kids and two businesses, and this is not the best season for me. Can I connect you with someone else? And I was like, I know we've said this so many times. I just really want you to know how uncomfortable it makes my soul to like just say no from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I know, but you have to. And so just going back to like, okay, to be a normal human, to be a healthy human, to do what God has asked me to do, I'm going to have to say no to people I really love and really care about and want good for. But to to know that they may be disappointed and they may be frustrated and they may not understand it and I can't control it. And I just constantly go back to, and this is in the devotional, I constantly go back to the idea that Jesus disappointed people and that he was still holy. But that people were like, often we read stories in the Bible about him pulling away from shore and there's hundreds of people waiting on the shore, like waiting for him to heal them. And he's like, bye, I need a nap. Like I'm a human. I need a nap. And that's so comforting to me. So that was like a big, not enough one for me that just happened in the last 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yes, one of the girls is still mad at me and hasn't texted me back.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's the thing. Like these are in process experiences with this. Like this is something that I truly think that Wild and Free is such a, we just put new, fresh words to ancient truths that have been true from the beginning of time, from when Jesus walked on the earth. And so this is not stuff that's like, oh, great, I'm going to be a good listener. And then I'll have the 10 bullet points and I'll be able to just use those 10 bullet points and I'll know now. And this is the kind of thing, like this is a daily obedience sort of thing. And I think that it speaks so much to identity and so much to obedience that they're not things that we're going to just learn and move on from. I think that we'll move on from them more quickly and we'll obey more quickly and we'll be more rooted in our identity, but they will continue. I think God just has a way of continuing to invite us deeper in by giving us more chances to obey. And so it's just a deepening understanding of it. And I think that's maybe been one of my frustrations is this feeling of like, why can I not just be done with this lesson? Why can I not have learned this and be done? And I think I'm the person who wants to eventually not need the gospel. I would like to be able to one day study enough to score 100% so I can go on to like gospel 201. Thank you very much. And I mean, that says so much about my personality. I don't like to be weak. I don't like to not know things. I don't like to appear as though I don't have it together. And in this season in my life, it has just been the Lord inviting me to not have it together. And my kind of way, and it's actually a way that I felt like I was too much. So I'm going to the Festival of Faith and Writing in Grand Rapids on kind of a last minute decision kind of trips. And all of the hotels are booked up, like all the things. But it's close enough for me to drive, so I'm going to go. We can make it work with our family. It's good to do. I've needed some refreshment creatively, so this is good. And my husband can make it work, which is doubly like, okay, great, we'll do that. But there's nowhere to stay. And I could stay further out of the city. We could pay more money to do it. But it's not wise for us right now. So Mike was like, hey, babe, here's Mike's my husband. Nobody else called. Nope. I don't have random men calling me babe. Mike is my husband. Mike said, hey, babe, like we can make this work for you to go, but I want you to put yourself out there. I want you to go be honest with 5 friends that you know are going to be there and say like, you need a place to stay. Can you split the cost with them and sleep on the floor? And everything in me was like, no, they are responsible humans. They have planned this trip out like for months. It's been 2 years since you could buy your tickets for this thing. Like, who am I? I decided to come the day before. And who am I to say like, can I sleep in your room that you responsibly booked like however long ago? And he was like, listen, we all have needs. Like make your needs known, be needy, be too much. Be a real person. And everything in myself was like, no. Like, I think what you were saying, Jess, like how deeply uncomfortable that made you. I felt the same pushback, that same resistance of like, no, this is just not who I am. I do not do this. I would rather hide, go make a expensive hotel reservation 45 minutes away and drive in an hour and a half round trip every day, then ask a friend to put herself out. And I mean, this is the kind of thing that I deal with, and that it is an actual obedience issue for me when I'm presented with that to do it anyway. And I just, yeah, I mean, I about want to cry just talking about it because it feels so visceral and so real.
Yeah.
And I know you were saying the same thing in text, Jess. I'm like, This is never ending. This thing, like it continues to come up. But it's a comfort to know both that it continues to come up, that it's like solidarity. We're all doing it together. And Christ is in us. He goes before us. He comes behind us. Like, we're surrounded with a heavenly host, like all the things. And we don't have to do it in our own power. That's even the better part. So yeah. Anyway, that's my...
And yeah. I love that when you said that too, all I wanted to say was like, and it's not, that's not too much. It's not too much that you would stay with you would want to stay in somebody's room. I mean, whoever it is, will probably be thrilled to have you. It's not like inadequate of me that I don't have time to hang out.
Right.
And I think it's when we show up and keep being obedient that we even change the language so that one day, 10 years from now, girls aren't calling that too much.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
not calling it needy.
Right. And we get that understanding in ourselves. Like I can know that that's not too much. I can know that I would be blessed if somebody asked me to serve them, but I don't understand it. Like deep in myself, I don't understand it because for whatever reason, I have not obeyed enough times to where God shows up enough. I learned something. And I think that's the beauty of it is that some lessons in life you get really fast and it just comes together and you understand. And there have been those things in my life where it was like C.S. Lewis says, like, I wasn't a believer. And then I rode my bike to the zoo, my motorcycle to the zoo. And then when I got there, I was. And to me, there's been those things in my life where I was like, I didn't understand it. And then all of a sudden I did. And it was like a light bulb. And then there's these things that you go on a journey with the Lord on. And for me, it has been identity and obedience. It's been those two things. And that's why I think Wild and Free is really foundational. I feel like it's really foundational. And it's not new. It's not whatever. Like this is age old stuff. So anyway, I wish I could tell you that like I sat here and have it all figured out, but I'm still working through it. And it's honestly an honor to continue to walk through it with other women, because if I felt like I had like just finished that and worked it out, why keep talking about it and why keep going out there and telling other people about it?
Right. And another thing that branching off of what you just shared is that this book is something you can reference again and again. It's like it's not a one and done, like you were saying, a 10-step formula to never be too much and always enough. This is chronic. I was in a conversation recently where this woman was telling me how disorganized another woman that we both knew was. Mm-hmm. And going on.
It was probably me.
But she just was going on and on, and just, it's just so frustrating. And I get it. She has more kids than me, but it's just so frustrating. And in myself, I was panicking like, well, I have four kids like this woman, and just this feeling of like sadness over how we judge each other and bring each other down, and that this has probably been spoken about me who knows how many times. And I just almost like this surreal moment of panic that this is a war zone. Why does it have to be that way? It absolutely does not. And that is not what we're called to. So I ended up just sort of exiting the conversation and being like, well, I'm not going to lie. I've definitely done way more disorganized things than that. So, well, whatever. But just really, it really hit me. And this book was so well-timed that week for me, because that is what it is. It is a war zone out there. And these women are comparing and slinging things at each other. And we're all guilty of it at some point. But really, what would happen if we stopped and we said, this is the way that I am. These are my strengths. And these are the things that are not so much my strengths. These are the things that I fear and that I'm embarrassed about, and that we could all encourage each other. Everything would change. It would all be lifted. And Haley, I relate to you so much in that need to be it all, like to be on top of it all. Your story about the hotel, like I was like crawling inside, like, don't do it. Don't ask to stay with them. Like I could not. And it's so silly. You've got four boys, right? You have four
boys?
Yeah. I have four kids.
Yes.
There are so many things that absolutely must slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
Why is that not okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's just, it's all in us. It's all in our flesh, and it's all a lie that we don't have to live by anymore. So I love your message. I love what you are doing. It's so beautiful and so needed. It's amazing. Okay. So Wild and Free, Never Too Much, Always Enough comes out April 24th. It can be pre-ordered though, right? I think, yeah, I pre-ordered it for a friend. So I will link to all of that for you guys listening. And for those who maybe want to just connect with you guys and watch you a little bit more personally, like Jess, I know you're like me, an Instagram girl. I'll link to all that. But is there anywhere else you want to lead people to, a website? Where can ladies go to kind of just follow you and connect with you?
I am on jessconnolly.com. And yes, always on the Instagram. Just can't get enough of it. And that's about the only places you'll find me these days.
Yeah.
I'm HaleyMorgan.com. And I am on Instagram some. But I have found that, yeah, for me, I'm starting to wonder, like, what's next? Where are we going with? And Jess is probably like, yes, I'm sure you are wondering that, because those are always, I always am thinking, like, where is our attention going to go next? Where are the younger women going to be placing their attention? And so I'm going to be experimenting a lot in this coming year and seeing kind of like what fits with how the rhythms of my life and the rhythms of what other people are listening to online. So I'm sure that there will be 10 different things that I try and maybe one that works in the coming months.
I'm going to do whatever Haley tells me that works.
HaleyMorgan.com is where I'll start.
Perfect. Well, we'll link to all of that so you guys can connect with Jess and Haley. And I'm just so excited for this book to get into the hands of so many women. I'm proud of you guys for, first of all, busting stuff out like psychos. Jess, you've written like Dance, Stand, Run. Wild and Free was recent. Like you guys are.
Yeah. Haley just finished her book. It comes out in the fall. Haley finished another book.
It's crazy, but it's good.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. I'm just inspired by you. And this is great. Thank you so much for your time.
Ditto.
Yeah, this was great.
It's a treat. It was fun to talk.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Ladies, we'll link to everything in the show notes, and I'll talk to you next time.
This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Did you know there's an exclusive community created solely for the sake of continuing discussion surrounding The Purpose Show episodes and to get you to actually take action and make positive changes on the things that you learn here? Go be a part of it. To join, go to facebook.com/groups/purposefulmamas. That's M-A-M-A-S. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show and get step-by-step help from me, head to alikasaza.com for free downloads. There's also courses there, classes, and ways that you can learn more about what the next step might look like for you and to focus on whatever it is that you really need help with in this season you're in right now. I'm always rooting for you, friend. See you next time. Thank you.